Alrighty, well then. Welcome to another Sunday evening with Zion's Trumpet. Yours truly, Brother Daniel. How you doing this week? How was everybody doing out there in Pal Talk Land? Alright, better, good. Alright. Well, we want to welcome somebody new to the room tonight. Zeeble. I don't know how you pronounce that. T-S-E-B-L-E-E. Welcome. This is the person who was trying to get in my room last week. I was trying to help, but so he signed up, or she signed up. I don't know. Are you a brother or sister? I don't even know what gender you are. Sister. Okay, welcome, sister. Lisa. Well, tonight I was going to do one song called Take Me Through Another Trial. I've sung this once or twice in a room. People don't like it too much after they've been through the battle because they don't want to go through any more trials. So this isn't a very popular song once you get in this walk and you've hit some rough spots. But it's a good song, and it's the truth. Take me through another trial. In the end, I know I'll smile. For this thing that I long to be rid of all my wrong. As I learn to cease from sin, the Lord says I am coming in. I'm gonna change you and make you just like me. The Lord is teaching me to walk in the Spirit. He has given me His mind that I might see. And although the way seems dark, I can continue. I just walk upon the words He speaks to me. So take me through another trial. In the end, I know I'll smile. It's for this thing that I long, to be rid of all my wrong. As I learn to cease from sin, the Lord says I am coming in. I'm gonna change you and make you just like me. I have seen a lot of Christians who won't follow the precious words my Savior speaks to me. They would rather walk along an easy pathway. As for me, I'll surely take that higher way. So take me through another trial. In the end, I know I'll smile. It's for this thing that I long, to be rid of all my wrong. As I learn to cease from sin, the Lord says I'm coming in. I'm gonna change you and make you just like me. The Lord is taking us through a lot of suffering, but it's necessary, you see, to reign with Him. As He lifts us up and shows us what He's doing, His face gets brighter and this world gets mighty dim. So take me through another trial. In the end, I know I'll smile. It's for this thing that I long, to be rid of all my wrong. As I learn to cease from sin, my Lord says I'm in Him. I'm gonna change you and make you just like me. So take me through another trial. In the end, I know I'll smile. It's for this thing that I long, to be rid of all my wrong. As I learn to cease from sin, the Lord says I am coming in. I'm gonna change you and make you just like me. I'm gonna change you and make you just like me. Amen. All right. We'll open up here and see if anybody wants to share. You feel free to take the mic and share. Johnny. Okay, Brother Johnny. Go ahead, brother. You got the mic.
Yeah, I guess I do have a song I could do here. It goes along with the one you got there. This walk is, the higher walk is a lot different, that's for sure.
For his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but know, always know, that God is in control, and joy cometh in the morning. I've got joy in my soul, for God is in control. He comes through, He's in control. He's mighty and supreme, beyond what I can dream. He's the God, always answers prayer. For His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, or know, always know, that God is in control, and joy cometh in the morning. Are you in a situation that's got impossible? Is there darkness just as far as you can see? Just hold on a little longer, put your trust in Father God. In the morning you see victory. For His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but know, always know, that God is in control, and joy cometh in the morning. I've got joy in my soul, for God is in control. He comes through when my heart is in despair. He's almighty and supreme, beyond what I can dream. He's the God, always answers prayer. For His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but know, always know, that God is in control, and joy cometh in the morning.
That's pretty good, Johnny. You're doing good. Thanks for sharing. Lots of people are in situations they think are impossible right now. So that's a good song. Anybody else have anything to share before we start here? Okay, looks like James. Go ahead, Brother James, you got the mic.
All right, can you hear me all right? All right, thanks. I just wanted to say hi, everyone. And I wanted to share a short testimony and what the Lord has been taking me through lately. And thank you for those songs, Johnny. I needed that one. God has been putting His finger on several things in my own life that are very dark and ugly. God wanted to deal with me on these following issues and tried showing me with gentleness and a still small voice, but I have been stubbornly unwilling to see the root of my problem. And I'd like to read quickly at this point, Matthew 16, verses 24 through 27. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. And I shamefully admit that, something that I've been even trying to hide before the Lord, and I found out you don't try to hide things from the Lord. Dan said something last week on the Pal Talk message that the Lord sees right clear down to our belly button, and it's foolish to try to hide things from him. But that is what I was trying to do, and that was that I really had no desire to deny myself or an eager willingness to take up my cross and follow the Lord. Or perhaps another way to word it is I've been unwilling to pay the price. I feel more like a snake that slithers out of his hole only to find food strictly for its own needs or to bask in the sun to pamper itself. A snake never gives, it only takes. It's little wonder why Satan used the snake to speak to Eve. It's a good image of Satan because a snake only cares for itself. The life of a snake revolves totally around its own care, protection, and satisfaction. It cares for no one else ever. A snake is only a user, not a giver. Again, I shamefully confess that I have been very stubborn in my unwillingness to deny myself. The only part to denying myself I would agree to is the comfortable side, the easy side, the side that hangs out like Saturday's wash. I have been pulling the fruit off the tree and not dealing with the root. In other words, I've only had an exterior form of denying myself when the whole time on the inside of me, stubborn self rules and reigns as an idol. I think I see a little more clearly now why Samuel told Saul in 1 Samuel 15:23 that stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. I feel the Lord has made it very clear that he requires three separate things in the Matthew 16:24 verse. One, to deny myself. Two, to take up my cross. And three, to follow him. The Lord is making real to me that walking in such a state of unwillingness to lay down my life, unwillingness to lay down my agenda, however you want to word it, leaves the door wide open for Satan and his demons to work in and through me. This also means the flip side of that is true as well. It means that I'm standing in the way for God to operate, for God to do his will through me. With self trying to remain on the throne, it frustrates God's plan. It not only interferes with his justice to operate, which is so very crucial in this hour, but it also interferes with his protection too. This makes another verse stand out to me that is in Isaiah 55:9, where God says that his ways are higher than my ways, and his thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Just one of the things that Dan talked about last week on Pal Talk that really spoke to my heart was how God had Noah prepare an ark for Noah's survival and his protection, and how I too, in this very critical hour, have to prepare an ark for spiritual survival and protection. And that ark is righteousness, walking in actual righteousness before the Lord. The only way I'm going to make it in this day we are in, when Satan has much power to overcome us, is doing everything that the Lord is asking and requiring of me. It is the only way I'm going to even begin to make it. God didn't build the ark for Noah. Noah had to do the labor. Noah had to put the sweat into it. God gave the plan. Noah had to execute what God was showing him. God is showing me that my life needs to end every day. My agenda needs to die every day. My will needs to die every day so that I can do his will his way. I've been reading a book. It's a true story about a woman who very shortly after her salvation, had a call of God on her life. There are very, very few pages that don't jump out at me and show the love and devotion and commitment to the Lord that this woman had, and the surrendering of her own life and will to the Lord, to the point of unwavering willingness to pay whatever price necessary to do everything and anything the Lord was asking her to do. Not, and I stress not, because she was going to reap some sort of gain out of it, but simply because it was what the Lord needed done. It was what the Lord wanted to accomplish for His glory and His honor. She was so much walking in such pure love for the Lord that denying herself was just the natural thing to do. Without question, without even having answers to why the Lord was having her do many of the things that He was requiring of her. In comparison, it makes me really feel more like that snake. As I stand at the starting line of this narrow walk, my desperate plea and prayer now is for the Lord to not only give me a desire to die to self, but to also start showing me things that I can do to truly walk in that death to self, and the desire, willingness, and strength to take up my cross and follow the Lord, to pay the very high price that is required to keep following tight to the Lord in these final days. I desperately need the Lord's help for a day-by-day, moment-by-moment desire, determination, willingness, and strength to deny myself, to lay down my life, to lay down my idols, and follow Him whithersoever He goes. And I want to end with a big thank you, Lord, and praise you, Lord, for giving me someone, that is the brethren here, to be accountable to and to help me in this walk. Otherwise, I know I would be eternally lost.
Thank you for that testimony, James. Lord bless you. And Lord, we'll pray that the Lord gives you strength to keep on walking. Anybody else want to take the mic before we start? No? Okay, well, I'm going to do something different tonight. We talk a lot about wanting God's judgment to come on this evil, wicked world and then on the United States. But maybe people don't understand why we're like that. The first reason is because we have God's working His righteousness in us, and we want His will. Second reason is we want His kingdom to come, and before God's kingdom to come, all the nations have to be judged and put down, as it says in Psalms and Revelation, ground to pieces. But there's another reason, and that is because this world is wicked. This government is wicked. And the beast system that's rising up right now, that's described in Revelation chapter 13, is extremely wicked. And I don't think people realize sometimes just how wicked our government is, just how wicked the government that's rising up is. And so I'm going to give you some natural information tonight to let you know that when God comes and starts slaughtering people, they're going to deserve what they're getting because they're evil and they're wicked. I'm going to give you some information tonight on just how evil it is and how it controls our nation. You may remember I said the other week, the beast, well, I've been saying this forever, the beast in Revelation, that beast comes up out of the sea, is first and foremost a powerful demonic prince. And that prince is the source, he's the inspiration, and he's the power behind the rise of everything we see in the visible political realm. This invisible spirit is behind the rise of the visible global police state. Okay? But like all demon spirits, he's invisible. He needs to work through human instruments. Okay? Everything the demons do, they do through men. And the more people are given over to evil, the more they're given over to wickedness and selfishness and self-obsession, the more this prince's wisdom and power can be manifested through them. Now, I like to know what's happening as much as anybody else in the world, but not for the same reason. Most people who spend time, especially those who are out there in the field researching, and they spend years and years and sometimes 30, 40 years researching the global government and all these conspiracies and who's behind what, who's doing what. You know, they don't exert all that time and energy studying that stuff and digging and digging and digging to find the truth for nothing. They go out there and trying to find out what's going on so they can stop it. They want to keep America as it is or as it was. They want to keep it free because they love their own lives. They want to be free to do what they want. They want to be free to serve their own gods. Gods of money and sports and entertainment and pleasure. They're out there trying to find what's wrong with the government, trying to trace behind the scenes to find out who the real movers and shakers are, who the globalists are, to save America so they can keep living free, so they can do what they want. And we don't spend much time on conspiracy theories, even though there's no doubt there is a conspiracy. And the conspiracy is laid out very clearly in the Bible, in Revelation, is to bring the whole population of the planet into beast worship and eventually into open Satan worship. And the Bible teaches that very clearly, so we're not against conspiracies, okay, because there is a conspiracy. And the devil uses men to fulfill it. So this conspiracy has evolved right now. It's going on in the last days. In order to bring it about in the natural realm, there has to be a slow and methodic brainwashing of an entire generation or two of people to historic ideas that this government's built on. So that slavery is seen as freedom, good is seen as evil, and the slow and methodic indoctrination of an entire generation of Americans has already happened. They've been indoctrinated into the concepts of socialism and communism, and that's finally paying off, because if you talk about the average person that's under 40 about food stamps, they'll see nothing wrong with millions and millions and millions of Americans being on food stamps. They'll see nothing wrong with Obama's promise to distribute their wealth. You know, these kids have been brainwashed from the kindergarten up into socialism, occultism, pro-homosexualism, environmentalism. Everything that's against God, against righteousness, against what the American nation once stood for, they are learning in schools. Everything about the nation that had anything to do with God, that had anything to do with real freedom, righteousness, it's taken out of the books. It's all rewritten. The whole history is rewritten. So that America seems like it was established as a communist state to the average student that's graduating right now. So it's been a slow indoctrination process. And finally it's come to fruition. And the time has come for this government to rise and take control. Okay, that's why I said last week, globalists have taken control of America. And there's no way anybody's going to take it back from them. Just like certain pizza shops in New York and New Jersey, they're front stores for the mafia. So America has become a front nation for the globalists. Globalists are using our past history of freedom to promote an illusion of liberty while they use our vast resources and our money to build the most wicked, oppressive, totalitarian state that's ever been raised in the history of mankind. You see, you go back and look at the seven heads of the beast. I won't go into this right now, but what happens is all the evil that was in all those other heads comes to fruition in that last head. And the last beast, it says in Revelation and in Daniel, the last beast is different from all other beasts. It's more evil, it's more wicked, it's like nothing anything's ever seen. And that's because all the different communism and socialism and fascism and totalitarianism and image worship and the worship of man, everything that's individual governments, individual empires have been at times past, one may be totalitarian, one may have been a fascist, one may have been communist. This last one's going to incorporate all of it. And then you add in Islam, the most wicked religion on earth, political system on earth, heartless, ruthless. Okay, this last system is going to be a combination of all the worst of the worst. And it's time now for that to rise. So the globalists have taken this nation, they've taken over every nation. Actually, that's what all these wars in the Middle East, all this upheaval, is through countries that weren't on the global bandwagon. It started with Iraq. Saddam Hussein was an individualist. He didn't like the global order. You know, he was out there by himself. Same thing with Libya, Gaddafi. He was an individualist. He didn't want to be part of the global order. Okay, he didn't want to give his nation sovereignty over to this big, huge globalist thing that's coming up. And so they take him out. They just take him out and use all kinds of different excuses, freedom or whatever. So this thing's coming together very quickly. Some of the things we're seeing in our country make no sense to people because they're not connecting the dots. They don't understand what's going on in the natural realm. There's many bizarre things that are happening in our country right now. But people don't understand what's going on. They don't understand they're connected. Everything's connected here. We're not witnessing a random breakdown of our society and our culture and economic and legal systems. Everything we see happening is connected. It's all been planned for many years, and much of it is a direct result of the implementation of a United Nations program called Agenda 21. Agenda 21 is basically a backdoor approach to establishing a global government. And this is one of the ways nations are deceived into being part of this government. And that plan isn't coming to America. It's been here for years. Most Americans don't know anything about Agenda 21. They've never even heard the term. But it's already in your backyard. If you live anywhere in any kind of population center, it's already there. It's a totalitarian environmental program that, once fully implemented, will tell you where you can live, what you can eat, how much water you can use, where you can travel, what you can travel in. It's going to take complete control of every aspect of our lives based on how it relates to the environment. Is it good for the environment? Is it bad for the environment? If it's bad for the environment, you can't do it. Of course, it has a marketing spin. In order to market it, it's being marketed as an effort to ensure that all human beings, everywhere, everybody everywhere in all the nations, that they'll have access to adequate housing and health care, universal health care, water, food. It's a big plan to create a paradise on earth for man where everybody's taken care of by the state. Okay? Of course, what's not mentioned in the advertising is that you can never reach that kind of a goal unless there's going to be a massive redistribution of wealth from nations like America was, to poorer countries. Okay? So the concept of the redistribution of wealth, that was one of the concepts, that's one of the things Barack Hussein promised to implement as soon as he became president when he ran for president. I don't know if everybody remembers that. He didn't use that term, redistribution of wealth. He used other terms, and a lot of Americans were fooled with what he's talking about, but some of them thought through it. You might remember Joe the Plumber. He's the guy that went out there and asked the president a very embarrassing question about the redistribution of wealth, and the president's answer was, yes, that's what it is. As one of our former presidents admitted about this Agenda 21, it says, quote, effective execution of Agenda 21 will require a profound reorientation of all human society, unlike anything the world has ever experienced. You hear that? This thing coming up is unlike anything ever before on this earth. It says, a major shift in the priorities of both governments and individuals, and an unprecedented redeployment of human and financial resources. Redeployment means redistribution. He says this shift will demand, okay, not ask, not require, not suggest, demand. This shift will demand that a concern for the environmental consequences of every human action be integrated into individual and collective decision making at every level. Let me read that last sentence to you again. He said, in order to implement Agenda 21, the major shift of priorities in both governments and individuals, a redeployment, a redistribution of wealth and financial resources, and a shift that's going to demand that a concern for the environmental consequences of every human action be integrated into individual and collective decision-making at every level. That means every person at every level will have to judge everything they do, where they sleep, how much you eat, how much you drink, by is it environmentally friendly or not. The environmental consequences of every human action must be taken into consideration when you make a decision. Governments and individuals. You understand that? That was George Bush, the Republican. The Republican Party and the Democratic Party, they're the same. There's no difference whatsoever, except one's taking us down the road to globalism this way, and one's taking us down to globalism the other way. One's going a little bit faster, one's going a little bit slower. They're all liars, they're all schemers, deceivers, and murderers. And they're all taking us down the same path, towards the same goal. They've all sold us out. Anything and everything you do has to be environmentally friendly, or it'll be illegal. Not just discouraged, but illegal. It's going to be punishable by fines and prison terms. That means if the car you own isn't considered environmentally friendly by some environmentalist nut job politician, then you'll be forced, not asked, but forced by the government to get rid of it. And if you don't, you'll end up in jail. If the house you live in isn't deemed environmentally friendly enough by some wacko in office, you're going to have to upgrade that for thousands and thousands of dollars or else abandon it. In the end, you're going to be told how to live every day of your life by a government that is evil and wicked, that worships the earth, and views you as Earth's number one enemy. See, they want you dead. This government wants people dying. That's why Obamacare has passed. They want all the elderly dead. Euthanasia is next. Our government is our enemy because it's run by globalists who want us all dead. Globalists only want a certain amount of people on the planet to what's necessary to run society enough to keep them alive. Everybody else they want dead. Everybody else they call useless eaters. And they're going to kill them in the next Third World War. Most of them will be killed, probably. Anyway, people laugh when you try and tell them this kind of stuff. They say, oh, our leaders would never allow such an absurd situation to develop in this nation. This is America. This is America. Well, go ahead and keep laughing. They'll stop laughing once the local sheriff comes and carts them off to jail because they broke some local regulation, some zoning law, some building code, or city ordinance, which is not really local at all, but it's international. See, many people don't believe your local laws are being replaced by international laws. They're no longer local. And they're going to be enforced by evil, wicked people that have no allegiance to any country whatsoever. Our leaders have already, not going to, already have sold us out to the globalists. George Bush, Bill Clinton, and of course, Barack Hussein, through executive orders, signed on to Agenda 21, all of them. And hundreds more of our governors, mayors, county commissioners, they've also signed on to it. To that and related programs. And that Agenda 21, these programs, is going to eliminate a lot of things Americans hold dear. Just a few of which I'm going to give you here. These are considered, quote, unsustainable. Anything that's unsustainable, anything that's not environmentally friendly, you know, you can't have it after a while once it comes to power. Just a couple of things is all private property. Of course, this is also just happens to be the same thing as the Communist Manifesto. The UN Agenda 21 is actually the Communist Manifesto repackaged and put through for international use. Okay, one, all private property rights have to be eliminated. All livestock production, most meat consumption. They're going to turn us all to vegetarians after a while. Private-owned vehicles and personal travel has to be eliminated. Use of fossil fuels for power generation, mechanized travel, sorry. Single-family homes. They want us all to live together in two, three, four families like they do in China. Most forms of mineral extraction or timber harvesting. And the human population is going to be reduced to fewer than a billion people if they have their way. The goals of Agenda 21 are now, not going to be, they're now being implemented on the federal, state, and especially local levels. And implementation of these things on local level is the real key to the whole thing. Because people, at least some people, are still watching what happens in the federal government. Less are watching what happens in the state government. And even less, hardly anybody watches what goes on in your local town. Okay? And when the federal government over the years, past 20 years, has tried to implement some of the more major goals of Agenda 21, they've been faced with stiff resistance because enough people are still watching what the feds do. Okay? But few people pay any attention to what goes on in your local town here, you know? And if you look at what's going on in your little town, you 9 times out of 10, you'll be shocked to realize that how many of your local laws just to match the international laws of Agenda 21. And we found this out the hard way when dealing with our barn. See, because all the codes and the regulations and stuff we're dealing with right now regarding our barn are not local codes. They're not state codes. They're not federal codes. They're international codes. So whatever international regulations and laws, which are always environmentally pro-environment, whenever they can't impose that upon the American people from the top down, then they impose it from the bottom up. They come in and they find people who are humanist and are willing to go along with this agenda, who hate God, and they put them up for local election, sheriffs, commissioners, whatever. And pretty soon, you got pro-Agenda 21 people and living in your little town, and behind your back, you don't know it, they're passing laws that are the same as what the federal government would like to do, but half the time can't.